Our present meditation is on Bethlehem and divine providence. All the mysteries of Christ's life tell us something about reliance on the providence of God in our lives. But the event of Christ's birth at Bethlehem is particularly significant. It is perhaps unfortunate that some people associate Bethlehem only with Christmas, and some, I'm afraid, not even with Christmas. Whereas the lessons of Bethlehem are for every day of the year, and we can never exhaust the riches of meaning of a few verses in the Gospel according to St. Luke, revealed to those who believe, and believing have the wisdom to think, and thinking have the grace to put into practice. Because God's providence is to be practiced. Let us first hear once more what the evangelist of Our Lady has to say. Now it came to pass in those days that there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus that a census of the whole world should be taken. This first census took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all were going each to his own town to register. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the town of Nazareth into Judea, to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to register together with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, that the days for her to be delivered were fulfilled. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is a meditation. It is not a lecture in theology. And consequently, we ask ourselves, what are the lessons that the mystery of Bethlehem should teach us? Among others, Bethlehem ought to teach us, first, to believe in divine providence, then to trust in the Lord's providential wisdom, and third, and with emphasis, to resign ourselves to God's provident care. Faith in divine providence. As we read the narrative of what Mary and Joseph were called upon to do, we marvel at their simple faith in the providence of God. By all merely human standards, going to Bethlehem at that time was not the right thing to do. In fact, it was the wrong thing to do. Bethlehem was far from Nazareth. They would therefore be quite some distance away from home, away from their relatives and friends, among strangers. Joseph had work to do, and Mary was expecting. Besides, here was a pagan emperor putting tens of thousands of people to endless trouble. Why? To get a count of his empire. Why count the people? To satisfy his ego. And because we know the imperial treasury was low, to make sure that he collected all the taxes. Talk about the profane meeting the sacred. Yet God had his purpose, using the emperor's pride and avarice to accomplish his designs. Whatever else we are called upon to believe about providence, it should be that God's providence includes people. Good people and bad people. Fancy God not being able to use bad people to work out his providence. This is God. Why did God do it? To identify for all times how the Messiah came from the royal house of David, that his son, who is King of Kings as God, was also a king as man, to verify the prophecies of the old law, notably of the prophet Micaiah, how the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and of course always one of the purposes that God has was to teach us. What then about our faith in divine providence? Revelation tells us that the providence of God is the eternal plan by which he governs the whole universe and every last and least creature in it towards the fulfillment of his all-wise design. Accordingly, we are to believe that nothing in the world ever just happens. Nothing merely occurs. Everything in the world at large and in our world has a purpose. That I should have received a telephone call just as I'm coming in for a conference, I had no doubt I should answer it. I was asked for counsel. It will affect one person's life and many others who depend on him. There is no such thing as chance with God. There are no such things as mistakes with God. We make mistakes. We do wrong. We commit errors and sin. Never God. But God uses our mistakes and errors, and even sins. That's right. To effect his designs. In his loving wisdom, God has a good reason for everything in our lives. The people we meet. All the people that God makes sure we don't meet. Whom we just missed. Oh, no, we didn't. God planned it that way. The persons we live with. Talk about faith. I wasn't in the novitiate 1 week. We have only an 8-day postulancy, and then begins the novitiate. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be living with, I forget what names came to my mind. Lord, not this. The temperaments and personalities that we deal with, that I as a religious have been living with, and of course they make exactly the same judgment about us. The word character in my vocabulary has a rich meaning. The fact that we were born when we were in this age, in this country, in that city, of just those parents, all of this is part of God's providence. Our parents didn't chance to meet. We didn't happen to be born. All of that is planned by God. We are further to believe that divine providence is the normal way that God shows us his will. I have by now dealt with and counseled many souls. Sometimes I marvel, I am aghast, that anybody should want to listen to my counsel. I mean it. But they do. One thing I've learned. What long reflection, days and months of study, consultation, reading of books, people will engage in to find out what is God's will. And all they'd really have to do in most cases is relax Just look around. Be honest with God in themselves. And tell themselves, oh, this is it. No book of Scripture is ever so specific. No writing by a master of the spiritual life is ever so detailed as the circumstances into which God's providence places us to manifest His will. The great mysteries of faith, like the Trinity, or the Incarnation, or the Real Presence, are to be believed, of course. But they do not, for most people, as constantly and as demandingly enter our lives as does Providence, where we are bidden to see God's purpose in the rain today outside, or in my feelings inside, or in the person with whom I, quotes, happen to work, or the chance, quote, telephone call at 1 o'clock in the morning. God is behind every breath of wind, behind every degree of temperature, beyond every feeling in the body, behind every face that looks into mine, whether it smiles or frowns. Behind every kind word I hear, behind every rejection or unacceptance or maybe even insult I receive, God is behind that pain in me and the hurt inflicted on me. It's not he or she. Dear God, let's ask Him to help us believe this. It's not human lips or human hands or human wills. It's God. To believe this is to have the faith second level of our reflections trust in the Lord's providential wisdom faith in God's providence is only the beginning we are also to trust in the Lord's providential wisdom, even as Mary and Joseph trusted in what they were called upon to do. And the circumstances in which they found themselves were, well, the calling upon to do what they were supposed to do. Joseph, we are told, simply got up, left Nazareth, and went to Bethlehem to register. It's just as well that Luke was not writing one of our modern novels, he'd spent some 30 pages describing Joseph's feelings. Mary need not have, absolutely speaking, come along with Joseph. He, as the legal head of the family, being of the house of David, only his presence in Bethlehem was required. But it was the prudent thing for Mary to do, to go along with Joseph, or perhaps more accurately, to have Joseph be with her. She is not for nothing called Virgin Most Prudent. Here we have the key to trusting in the wisdom of Providence. It is the prudent thing to do. What is prudence? Prudence is doing what God's providence shows us we should do. Oh, we know. We've lived with life long enough to know that this is more easily said than done. Naturally speaking, each one of us has his or her own ideas. We've got our plans, our projects, our designs. And a large part of trusting in God's providence is to lay aside our plans in favor of what God seems to want us to do. From all the evidence, when the angel appeared to Mary at the Annunciation, this was the last thing she expected. Leave it to God. His providence will often mean the last thing we expect. Not this, not today, not now. That's us. When again the angel appeared to Joseph and told him to take Mary, already with child, as his wife, we know, and Matthew makes it very plain, Joseph already had other plans. When Mary's days for her to be delivered were approaching, to leave home and go to a strange and distant city was not in either Mary's or Joseph's designs. I can say with complete security, expect the unexpected of God, and you will generally be right. That does not mean that God does not want us to make plans, to anticipate, not to be careless or thoughtless. But after we've made all the plans and laid all the designs and filled out all the details of the blueprint, either of our lives in general, or of today or the next hour in particular. Isn't it true? I'm saying far more than my words indicates. How constantly God is stepping into our lives and changing our plans.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.